Hello and welcome to the Beards and Bulldogs podcast. I'm Aiden and this is my dad.
Hi. Yep, it's me, Scott. I think you nearly forgot the name of the podcast then. It was
No, I
just
didn't.
you didn't? No, it was just a delay. Welcome to episode 28. Yeah. And not really much exciting stuff happened this week, I think. Much things are largely the same. Fuel prices are still out through the roof.
Yeah.
Although starting to recover a fraction. And the new highly contagious variant BA.2.0, whatever the fucking hell they've called it now. I preferred when they called it after Transformers, but anyway.
Yeah. Where did they come up with the names for these variants? They're the most random things ever.
Yeah, I think it depends on who finds it. They can sort of name it stuff.
Who finds it and goes, yeah, I'm going to name this one B26A4.
Yeah.
That's really catchy.
Yeah, it's catchy. It's catchy. It sounds scientific. Sounds like something off Star Wars. Anyway, it's the new highly contagious variant because the other variants obviously weren't contagious enough, and this one's so much more highly contagious that they're not even changing any of the COVID rules.
Half the people I know have COVID though.
Yeah, I know.
Have had it.
Have had it. I know. It's everywhere. Apparently, they were saying in the news earlier this week that it's spreading largely amongst children.
Yeah.
And then they're like going on, and they're like, the most at risk age group is 5 to 30.
It's a pretty big age gap.
Yeah, and I'm not sure 30-year-olds children.
Yeah.
But the way it was all phrased initially was, you know, the kids are the biggest, children are the biggest risk, and the age group is this. It's like, I know a lot of sub 30-year-olds act like children, but I don't think they are children.
Yeah.
I think they're adults. But anyway, luckily there's no change to any of the COVID restrictions currently, at least here in Queensland. There may be in other states, but here in Queensland, everything's still going along as normal. I still have to wear a stupid mask on the bus when there's one or two people on the bus, including the driver. But anyway.
We've somehow avoided getting COVID still.
Yeah, we've managed to avoid it somehow, and I don't know how, because your sister and your brother seem to catch every single bug known to man, so...
Yeah,
how they've actually managed to avoid the Rona is beyond me. But anyway, well, it's not out of the woods yet. It's still there. We'll see what happens with that. Other than that, it's normal weekly stuff. I did see in the news down in Victoria quite recently, last few days or so, there was a accident between a Tesla, so a Model 3 Tesla,
yeah,
and a poor nurse or health worker. Trying to get on a tram.
Oh.
So it hit her. Now, the owner has said that the car was in autopilot in town, but on autopilot, and it's the car's fault, not hers. Firstly, I feel sorry for the person who got hit. That's not cool. She's like in a very bad way. So that's really, really bad. And I feel for those people and those people impacted, especially her co-workers, because she went to the hospital that she worked at. So that's bad. But on top of that, what this now does is it goes and sets the legal precedent for autonomous cars in Australia. So it really hasn't been tried yet, the laws around who's responsible when the car's in its self-driving.
It should be the person.
It should be the person, yes. And Tesla make it really clear that you sign but you agree that you are responsible for the car no matter what. So it should be the person. It's not tested in law yet, so it'll be tested in law now, because she's been arrested and all that type of stuff, as you would expect.
Yeah.
It brings a question of when you should have autopilot on, and I don't think you should have autopilot on when you're in town.
Yeah, you don't really need to.
You don't really need to, and what else are you going to freaking do? Like, seriously, if you're into, especially if you're in Melbourne, I can't even trust a driver in control of his own car in Melbourne, let alone... trusting my car to drive autonomously, trusting every other motorist there.
Yeah.
Just can't. Melbourne motorists are crazy. Just as crazy as Sydney. It's just in Sydney, there's more of them. But still crazy. I wouldn't do it. I would not let a car self-drive. I just couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe on the highway. Maybe when you get on the Hume Highway and it's dual lane and it's boring as batshit. Yep, cool. Put it on, I can play Angry Birds or something. But other than that, no. So that's going to be very interesting in the coming months. I think it's not until June that that lady appears before court.
Yeah.
Initially, but there'll be a long trial, because what this will do is this will give insurance companies the grounding and the established point for claims. So if she's found guilty, and that if she's found that she was solely responsible, even if the car was in, you know, autopilot, then if the car is in autopilot, the driver's still responsible. At the moment, it's untested, it's untried. So, you know, to be responsible, you have to be in control of the vehicle. And that comes in the whole argument, are you in control of the vehicle or are you not? So this will be really, really interesting. It's terrible that this had to happen, but it was going to happen at some point. And this will be the test for that. Anything for the old lady update, Tina?
Yeah, I think I saw her once this week. Just sitting outside.
Just sitting outside. So that must just be the life. Just the height of the day is to go outside. She probably goes back inside for the midday movie, but go outside.
It's going to get kind of... I feel like people are going to get sick of the old lady update, because not like she's going to do anything. I'm going to walk out there and she's just going to be like...
You never know.
Murdering somebody.
You never know. You could go there and she's swinging cats or something. Like, you wouldn't know. Maybe we need to do like a neighborhood watch thing and see if there's any other weird creatures around the neighborhood, because there is.
Yeah.
There's plenty of weird cats. A weird cat a few doors down. So we might have to look at something like that, unless she does something interesting.
Yeah.
Because if she's just doing the same thing, then that's becoming boring. Or we throw something at her, see what she does.
She's actually a program. She spawns out there.
Yep.
On specific days, usually Wednesdays.
Yeah. She's probably like a sentinel. She's probably just spawned there to watch.
She doesn't, like, if you're trying to interact with her, she doesn't do anything, because she's just sitting there.
Yeah, she's an NPC or something.
She's a hologram.
man. All right, we'll have to think about that, because now she's just getting boring. We can't have her boring.
Yeah.
Do something exciting. Get on the bingo bus or something. Like, do something exciting. On to car news. So only a few things for car news today. I won't bore the people who don't care about cars. Couple of recalls quite recently.
Yeah.
On a few different cars. Sadly, the Hyundai Santa Fe has been recalled.
No!
Yeah, I know. Terrible, great disappointment. Hyundai's build quality is just going to shit. They're being returned because there's a malfunction with the LCD display. So the dashes and those are just like a computer screen.
Yeah.
Phone screen type thing. And if it's too cold, the entire instrument cluster can peer upside down.
How?
I don't know, but most Hyundai owners wouldn't even notice the freaking difference.
Why am I going in the negatives?
It's what most Hyundai owners are probably going to have gone, it's got an LCD dash? What? It's got a dash? They probably don't even freaking know. Anyway, they've been recalled, and apparently you're going to get a new one put in or something. Additionally, the BMW X5, so the big SUV hybrid type cars, have been recalled due to a fire issue.
Oh.
Where if the battery is fully charged, it could catch fire.
I'm pretty sure that's not how they're meant to work.
No, it's not how they're meant to work. They're not meant to make you warm. Being on fire.
It's pretty serious.
It's pretty serious, yeah. They've asked them all to go back. But the BMW are like, if you can return it with less than 30% charge, that'd be good. It's a hybrid. It's freaking hard to go, hang on, let me just drive it around for another hour in my maybe catch on fire death machine while I get it as low as possible for you. Fuck no, I'm taking it back. You want to empty the thing, you go and drive it around.
Yeah.
I'm not driving around something that could catch fire at any minute. But apparently they take them back and they will replace the batteries in it. Apparently the batteries they used are not up to spec or standard or something.
Then why'd they use them?
Because it's cheap. It's BMW. I don't know why. In other news, in Skoda news, the new Monte Carlo, the new Fabia, will initially only come as the Monte Carlo when it arrives, the new 2022.
So there's no base model?
So to start with, there'll be no base model. There'll only be the Monte Carlo.
Will there be a VR? Is it VRS or is it just RS now?
I'm not sure what they do with those little ones, but they've said it'll only be Monte Carlo. There won't be any others initially. The others may come over time. But the new Monte Carlo will have the 1.5-litre engine.
Oh.
So it's got the 1.5-litre turbo engine.
Is it still three-cylinder?
No, I think it's four.
They went back to four-cylinder.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And it's 110 kilowatts.
That's better than
it's the a step. One. It's a step up. The current one's 81.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. In the 80s, anyway.
Yeah.
And mine's only 77, so it's a step up.
Yeah, it's like 150, 160 horsepower.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, from a tiny car, still the size of a Polo.
Do they have the flared guards, though?
No.
Yeah.
No. No flared guards. Boring. Still standard red guards on the side. Got the black roof, but that's about it. And it's like, you know, still missing the guards. But
besides the guards, I really do like those new Monte Carlos, or new Fabias, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, I do like them. And you can get one for around 30 grand.
But then you actually go into a dealer and it's like, they're actually 70?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, we've only got one here in the showroom. All the rest are out the back. So this one's like 200 grand.
Yeah. But if we're going off for MSRP, that's pretty good.
It's not a bad price for you know what it is. 1.5-liter engine. That'll be a good little car.
Yeah.
It really will. On to space news. So NASA have revealed that we've now gone past 5,000 exoplanets found around the universe.
What's an exoplanet?
So an exoplanet is a planet that they found around another sun, but it doesn't get categorized as a planet because they haven't tracked its orbit to see if it actually orbits its sun properly or something or other. There's some weird-ass rules around what makes it a planet and an exoplanet. But anyway, They've now found 5,000, I think 12 of today it was 5,005 exoplanets. They don't know how big they are. They don't know if they've got life. They don't know if it's just a flaming ball of gas. They don't know.
Yeah.
There are future missions, though, and future space telescopes that are going to go up and actually try and identify the atmospheres of these planets.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but they're going to do it probably radio or something, but it'll be a space telescope that'll have to do it.
Yeah, so. I saw in a YouTube video recently. Mm. They're sending, like, you know, the Hubble Space Telescope.
Yeah,
it's like 2.0 version. It's like the new one.
Yep,
and it's gonna see like further into space and take really good pictures.
Yep,
I don't know if that's this year or not.
Yeah, there's a few going up. There's a couple of the optical space telescopes, and then there's some radio telescopes and stuff going up as well.
Yeah.
That probably is a radio one for atmosphere, because they won't really want to, you can't see it. So you'll have to get, you know, radio signals and light pickups from it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all of the news. I don't really have that much. I tried to get some gaming news, but most of it was boring as shit and didn't really mean anything.
Yeah. So Gran Turismo's fucked.
Yeah, Gran Turismo's screwed. Well, it's back online and they gave everyone $1 million.
Yeah, and you can sell cars now, which I actually really like.
Yeah, and there's some more stuff coming later on. Some more tracks, some more endurance stuff. I actually tried one of the first endurance races in the Mission series. It was hard.
Yeah.
It was like rain all the time, and yeah, you can only have 600 people.
So when you were playing it, they have drag races, which I'm excited to do, because I want to make a full-on drag super or something.
Yeah, yeah, they do. They've got some drag races in there, and they've got some events that have standing start.
Can you do drag races with your own cars, or is it only for, like, the missions?
I'm not sure. I haven't actually gone and had a look and see if you can just, you know, do your own drag race sort of stuff.
Yeah.
There's nothing in any of the championships or race categories for it at the moment, but neither is drift. Drift's only in the missions as well. Yeah. So I reckon they're probably two things they'll probably look to expand at some point. The drag racing isn't... It isn't good when you use a racing Supra. And it isn't good when you try and change all the gears whilst having the NOS button down.
Why was it spinning out so much? Like, when I used that car, not for a drag race, but just for track, it's got tons of traction.
Yeah.
It felt like it was all-wheel drive.
Yeah. I think just on a standing start, when it's just got to go from dead stop, it doesn't like it.
Yeah. And the tires are probably cold as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't like it when you're also trying to hold the NOS button down and feeding it 30% NOS.
It's understandable.
That'll do burnouts in sixth gear with the NOS down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's they made some steps.
I feel like it's getting a little bit too much hate because, unlike, you know, other games like Cyberpunk, when it released, it was shit.
Yep.
And it kind of still is. At least they're addressing these issues and they're apologizing and they're giving people stuff and they're putting more stuff in the game, trying to fix all the problems. It's getting a ton of hate.
It's getting a lot of hate.
It's too much, I think.
That probably comes from the long time expectation that Gran Turismo is like beyond everything else, because, you know, 6 and 5, when they came out, the equivalents were utter garbage. And Gran Turismo was just a mile different. And there's just that expectation now that if a Gran Turismo game comes out, it's meant to be way beyond everything else.
It's basically, you know, the whole trendsetter. It's the leading sim racing game.
Yeah, it's what most of them can try and keep up with.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a different style. It's a proper, you know, meant to be a proper race simulator game. So it's not meant to be like a friggin', you know, drifting a Lambo around in corners or putting a big monstrous 5-liter V8 in a BMW.
Forza.
Yeah. All those types of ones. It's different and it's meant to be different.
Yeah.
And I think with the big drama everyone has is that expectation of it being perfect and the ultimate game, and it's sort of not been.
Yeah.
And a few reasons why, and a few things have led to it. But yeah, I agree, they're dealing with it, and they're trying to make it better, and they're trying to get everyone to get this concept into their head of you're not getting the full finished thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like in GT6, you just got the whole damn thing, and it sort of seemed a little bit overwhelming. This has sort of gone the other way. It's like, it's not quite so overwhelming. The races, we can manage through those and the categories, and, you know, you haven't got a whole, you know, 600 races to look at, but it's sort of the opposite. You sort of do most of them, you go, okay, well, now what do I do?
So, yeah, I know this whole trend of games not releasing, game makers not releasing their games finished. Mm. Seems like every single game that's released is a shit, unfinished mess.
Yeah, I think part of it comes from the pressure from the actual gaming companies, the corporations, your Sonys and your Xboxes and stuff like that, where they've got the expectation that it goes, like it gets released, right, and you just deal with it after that. But they've also got that expectation of games having a longer life than what they used to. So you would just release a game and its life was as long as it took to make another one. Now they sort of release a game, add to it, build on it, do the DLC, do all that.
Yeah.
And then do another one to try and give it a longer life.
They should only make another game when their current one dies off.
Or when it's maxed out, when its potential is maxed out. The struggles PlayStation face at the moment is, you know, no PlayStation 5 consoles.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the gaming format's stalled. I think they're in crisis mode trying to fucking keep everybody as happy as they can, and they just can't. You know, Gran Turismo, when PlayStation 5 came out, Gran Turismo was meant to be the king of games on the PlayStation 5 platform. It was meant to be the showpiece.
Yeah.
And then when no bastard could get a PlayStation 5, they've had to reverse engineer it and tune it down to be able to cope on a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Which is effectively what they've had to do. So it's anyway, could go on about it for hours, but and it's getting better. I'm not hating it as much as I hated it last week. So the million bucks helped. Thanks, PlayStation, because then I could just buy more parts that I didn't really need, like NOS kits on most of my cars.
Yeah,
because I found that's the best hack to go and be able to actually win races, especially if there's big long straights.
Yeah, because it doesn't put your PP up.
Yeah, it doesn't put your PP up. And your performance stays exactly theirs. For anyone who's wondering why we just said PP twice, PP is performance points. PP is not PP. It doesn't make your PP go up. It makes your PP go up. Hope that clears that up for you.
NOS does not make your PP bigger.
No, it doesn't.
But turbos do.
Turbos. Superchargers do. Anyway, enough of that. They're acting like children now. On to my tips for young bucks. Now, for those of you who can't see, Aiden hasn't attempted a mullet.
You're just going to say don't get a mullet.
I'm not going to say don't get a mullet. I'm not, not at all. I'm not going to say don't get a mullet.
Because, yeah.
I promise I will not mention it again. What I am going to say, though, is get used to people judging you by your looks.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, all right.
It's get used to that. And that's to anyone. And that still relates, you know, I still have that relate to me now.
Yeah.
To this day. Because people see me with a beard and there's this, you know, people would judge it one way or the other. I've had people go and think that I'm, you know, I'm somehow more filthy or disgusting or something like that because I have a beard. What? And just because I get snacks caught in it, that's intentional. That's so I can have something to eat later. But there's conceptions. People always have conceptions based on looks.
Yeah.
Right? People always think I'm angry. I'm not. I just, it's hard to smile behind a beard. The same with having a shaved head, the same with any type of haircut you have, the same with any way you dress. People are going to judge you.
Yeah.
They're always going to judge you. But never take it personally.
Yeah.
Because any judgment someone gives you is a reflection of themselves to some degree. Right? Sometimes people will just take the piss out of you and that's fine. It's just fun. No hard feelings. No hard feelings. But some people will, you know, be genuinely mean to other people based on their looks.
Yeah.
It will happen. It's happened to me more times than I can count. It will happen. I've had people judge me because I drove trucks. You know, people will judge you.
Yeah.
All the time. The best way to get past it is accept and acknowledge that it happens. And if you need to manage around it, manage around it, right? If you have, you know, certain expectations in a job, for example, if I was in the police, which thankfully I'm not at the moment, well, I'm not going to be anywhere at the point. If I was in the police, I would have had to shave my beard last year.
Oh.
Because all police had to.
Yeah.
So you have to have ways of working around how people treat you based on your looks. For me, I largely just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm now at that point of being old enough to go, I don't fucking care what you think, to be particularly honest. I take pride in how I look and I look after myself the best I can. That's what anyone else thinks is what anyone else thinks. It isn't going to change. When you're younger, you sort of don't have that long-term understanding and the benefit of hindsight to know when someone can genuinely influence how you look and dress and when they can't. So there's plenty of times when someone says you need to dress a certain way and they can't actually make you.
Yeah.
They can't. How they will look at you is a different story. And I've had that recently where in a place I work, there is an expectation that you dress in business attire type thing, you know, long sleeve shirt, pants, whatever. If you decided to just have a casual Friday, like most places do have a casual Friday, you get looked at and shunned upon like you're some type of grub hanging about in the place.
Yeah.
So people will do it because their conception and expectations are different. Don't take it personally, just plan accordingly, get around it, ignore it. Whatever you want to do.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
I was going to put that. I thought, I better not. But you did anyway. Yes, don't judge a book by its cover. Open the back page and read the last line. Then judge it. It's a good tip for life.
How do you do that with a person? Are you talking about actual books?
Actual book.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about a person.
Well, what about the blurb? I was taught in school that if you want to know about the book, you read the blurb on the back.
And the blurb on the back is publicist stuff. It's advertising.
So if I read the last line, it's like the end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if it doesn't have an end, then you know it's going to be a second one. And might be worth reading the first one.
Oh.
I don't know. There's an idea. On to the Stoic quote. So this week's Stoic quote is from Seneca. And it's a pretty simple one, this one. We suffer more often in imagination than in reality.
So, I think I understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, you're imagining what you want to do and stuff, and instead of actually doing it, you just continue to imagine it, and you don't chase after your dreams.
Yep, there is that. And it is also the suffer part. So, we will make things up in our head far in excess of what they are in reality. So if we screw up, we fuck something up or something like that, our perception of what the outcome of that will be is generally far worse than the actual outcome. And because we imagine an outcome far worse, we don't take the action necessary to rectify it or address it, because our imagination makes us suffer more than what we would in reality. Right? So you might do something, you know, stupid. Everyone does something stupid in their life. I've done many things that have been stupid. And you might do something stupid that might get you the attention of the local police. Right? And your imagination will be, if I own up to that, or if they catch me, I'll be arrested and I will fucking spend the rest of my life in jail and I will become a criminal and I'll end up with tattoos on my forehead. Right? Your imagination will make a stack load of shit up. The reality is, you rock up down a cop shop, admit what you've done wrong, they either give you a fine or you go to court, the judge says, you're an idiot, don't do it again, and away you go.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how we see it versus how it really is. So we always have to be mindful that how we perceive something and what we see as suffrage inside something, as an outcome of our actions or something we've done or something we've said or whatever, the imagination of that and the outcome of that is far worse than what the reality is going to be. And if you get caught up not wanting to address what you imagine it to be, then you're only ever going to make it worse anyway.
Yeah.
So you just need to remember that we'll always suffer more in our imagination and inside our own heads than we will in reality. Right? And that's the same with dealing anything that's difficult. If you've got, you know, if you've got debt, or if you've got, I don't know, if you've crashed your car or any of those things, how you imagine or perceive the outcomes of those to be will be far worse than the reality of it.
Yeah.
That's my take on it anyway.
What's his name again, the guy who said it?
Seneca.
You could probably name a car that, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, you change the S to a C and
you've got
the N to an L. You're getting close to Seneca.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how they did it, though. But yeah, I don't know. It's too much of a plain and normal word. It wouldn't end up being on a Hyundai or a Kia or anything like that, or anything from Europe.
Yeah.
It's too much of a normal word, and it's bloody, you know, Greek, but it's still too much of a normal word because it's actually a word that people could sort of pronunciate because it's...
What's that Volkswagen SUV called? There's like one that's, it's like some weird name.
I don't know. There's some that are all sorts of... It's too many of them got bloody K's and Q's in them.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the Skodas. It's like the Kwok or whatever it is. It's like...
The name SUV is just the weirdest things ever. Yeah. And people are like, oh, it's got this really nice name and it's... I don't know how to pronounce it.
I reckon they just make those names up so the salesmen have something to laugh at when people try and go and pronunciate them.
So I was wondering about... Okay, so it's not Volkswagen SUV, because Volkswagen has T-Cross, whatever that means.
Don't they have the Tiguan or something?
And T-Rock.
T-Rock.
That's the...
Sounds like a US radio station or something.
Oh, we've got Tiguan.
The Tiguan.
This doesn't sound German. This sounds like Spanish. I don't know, but Tiguan. Yep.
Portuguese or something.
We've got the Touareg. Yeah, they're all shit.
Mm. Most of them are. Most of the SUVs are.
I had somebody send me a picture, and this guy lives in Indonesia? Mm. No, Singapore? One of those Asian countries. And there's not a lot of really good cars there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think it was like a CX-5 Mazda.
Yep.
Here in Australia, there's a fuck ton of them. They're boring. Yeah. And it's like, it's a four-cylinder turbo. Yeah, but it's in a fucking 2-ton car, and it's like a 1.5-liter, like 1-pound turbo. Like,
yeah, it's not like it's a performance machine.
Yeah, just because it's 4-cylinder turbo, fucking, the Skoda's a four-cylinder turbo, but it's not a performance car.
Yeah, 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 exactly, exactly. It's not the number of cylinders and the fact it's got a turbo. There's many more things that get factored into that.
Yeah.
That they don't really realise. But yeah, there's, interestingly, Mazda, I seen the other day, Mazda were saying that they're not worried about going full-scale electric vehicle like everyone else. You know, everyone else is like, ah, oh, all our range will be electric by fucking 20, whatever. Mazda's not doing that.
Yes.
Mazda's still investing in, they even still have a patent that they're working on for a supercharged two-stroke rotary.
How do you supercharge a rotary?
I don't know, but it's supercharged two-stroke. So like a freaking dirt bike engine fueled type rotary engine. It's like everyone else is like, we're going full electric and be completely green. And Mazda's like, the fuck it, just put a supercharger on the side of that rotary and make it run two-stroke. We pour oil out the back of it and everything. But
still trying to do rotaries?
Apparently so. I'd
love to see it.
But they also said that they're not going to drop fuel. Like their Sky Active petrol engines that they've been working on, they're still forging ahead. We're trying to make it an efficient petrol engine.
Yeah.
So there will be electric version alternatives, which may be hybrid or solely electrics of some models, but there will still always be the fuel.
Yeah.
Version. So they're not one of those freaking companies like Jag going, we're just going to be fucking completely fucking electric. It's like, fantastic. No one will buy your fucking cars.
Yeah.
You know, they have a freaking I-Pace and no one buys it. So it's good that there's at least one saying, No, we have a plan and we're sticking to it and we're not going to jump on the bandwagon that everyone else is jumping on.
Yeah.
We're going to stay our course. They've said, though, there's not going to be a performance wing. So there used to be like a Mazda Performance Series or something that sort of tuned up Mazdas, sort of.
Yeah.
They said they're not going to have that.
Was it Mazda Speed?
Because
they did the speeds. It was like they got 626s, 323s,
yeah.
And they...
Yeah, well, it must have been that sort of branch of it that did it, but they've said they're not going to because they've said their range that's coming out is sporty enough.
I don't think it's going to be very sporty, but
anyway,
I mean, at least they're still doing petrol. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll keep their sales going.
I feel like car companies shouldn't make this jump from, because it seems like we've forgotten about hybrid. We should go petrol, hybrid, then electric, not just petrol and then. Shit, we should probably do electric now.
Like, yeah, 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 and just taking the whole range and go electric. Like, I know it's the flavor of the moment, but, you know, what most people don't realize is there's, on most electric cars, there's a bigger weight in electric cars than there is on petrol cars.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the electric cars have got 1 year weight.
Yeah.
To get an electric car. You want a Leaf or you want a Kona, you can get one of those. You want a Mini, it's 6 months.
Jeez.
For an SE Mini, some of the electric BMWs and stuff like that, that's 12 months.
That's ages.
Yeah, so anyway, back on to normal activities. So today we have, for the Australian PM's piece, we have Mr. Arthur Fadden.
So he is...
Never heard of him.
No. What is this?
So this is 1941.
Oh.
So, remembering in the last episode that Robert Menzies stood down because he didn't have the confidence of his ministry.
Yeah, I learned about Menzies a bit in school. We're still like lined up with history in school at the same period of us talking about this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll probably go past this.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. So Arthur Fadden was born in Ingham, up here in Queensland, so northern, far north Queensland, to Irish immigrant parents. He worked as a town clerk in Mackay before moving to Townsville and opening up his own accounting firm. So largely, at the moment, not an overly exciting life.
Yeah.
Pretty standard type stuff. He was elected into the Townsville City Council in 1930. Big, big political move.
Wow.
Townsville City Council. Anyway, in 1930. Following that, In 1932, he was elected into Queensland Parliament to become a Queensland politician, but lost his seat in 1935.
Oh.
So, rather, you know, it's just so unexciting. He was elected into federal parliament in 1936, having won the seat in Darling Downs, which is sort of west of here, sort of southwest a little bit from here. And where was I with that? Yep, so in 1936, and in 1940, he became the acting leader of the Country Party. So at that time, the Country Party was working alongside, you know, the Menzies government, effectively. Their leader, can't remember what happened to the Country Party leader, they stepped aside or whatever. Anyway, he became acting leader in 1940. He served as the acting prime minister in 1941 when Menzies was over in Europe. Remembering Menzies went over to Europe and did all the war campaigning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
With Churchill and whatnot. In March of 1941, he won the ballot to become the proper leader of the Country Party. So they had to have a ballot, and they did that in 1941. In August 1941, he became prime minister.
Oh.
So Menzies had stood down,
yeah,
being the leader of the Country Party. He stepped up as Prime Minister in August 1941. He was replaced by John Curtin after just 39 days.
Yeah, I think I learned about John Curtin. I didn't learn about this guy.
Learn about this guy. 39 days as Prime Minister. You know what he did in that 39 days?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just sat there in his chair.
So they did a motion of no confidence against him and effectively had him ousted, and the Labour Party took over and John Curtin took over as Prime Minister.
Yeah. Is that the shortest ever? Or is there one shorter?
No, there's one shorter because he's only like 7 days.
Oh.
So, he lasted more than a month. So, kudos. However, it was one of the fastest rises in political history. So, it was 11 years from becoming a councillor in Townsville City Council to becoming Prime Minister of the country.
For like 30 days.
39 days. Bearing in mind, though, he was largely involved in federal politics along that. And he held several ministries. He was treasurer for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Through Menzies' second era, which we'll get to. But he was treasurer for quite some time. He was instrumental in quite a few things in the early war effort around funds and money and stuff like that. So he did have a big political career. It's just, he's the ultimate sort of just live in the shadows and, yeah, you know, just get on with business and not seek any attention and stuff like that. Cause no one knows who the fucking hell this dude is. But he managed in 11 years to go from being on the council in Townsville to the leader of the nation.
It just magically did it.
It's just, you know, talk about right place at the right time. It's just like, he's here and he's here and he's here. And I mean, there's a few things that sort of probably helped him along. I think back in during Menzies' term, there was a plane crash or something like that where a few of the ministers died.
Oh, jeez.
And I think that may have helped, might not have, but it may have helped. But you go all the way through it, and it's just so non-eventful. It's just like, hey, I'm a counsellor, and then like probably rings his mum next week, go, hey mum, I'm in the Queensland Parliament, and then like it's like 5 minutes later, hey, I'm in the Canberra thingy now, or Melbourne, no, it would have been Canberra now, and then she probably rang back next week and he's like, oh, I became Prime Minister yesterday.
And then like a couple of days later,
oh, I got kicked out. They didn't like me. So it's just like for someone that was involved in politics for quite some time and actually achieved something quite rare,
yeah,
to move up that quickly, it's all just really non-eventful.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for him because, you know, 39 days, he didn't even get a chance to get a name for himself.
Yeah, the schools don't teach about him.
No, no.
They just skip over the...
Skip over it. It goes straight from... And it was the same when I was in school. Went straight from Menzies to Curtin.
Yeah.
Not this guy.
Yeah.
Which I think's sad. He was a Prime Minister of Australia. He held office.
But when they're teaching World War II, nothing really happened.
No, they're focusing on the big things of that time. Yeah. And some dude who managed to somehow fucking sneak his ass into the Prime Minister's seat for 39 days before someone went, hang on, who are you?
That's what happened. He just sneaked in.
That's probably what's happened. He's probably just like...
This is Zen Menzies, what?
Yeah, he's probably just wondering. Someone's like, oh, there's no Prime Minister here. He's like, oh, I'll just make myself comfortable. This seat's very comfortable, isn't it? Someone comes and goes, who are you? He's like, I'm the Prime Minister. Oh, fucking hell, are you? And then, like, probably freaking Curtin probably got wind of it and went, hang on a fucking second. Who put that twit in there? But, you know, it's just, I thought I would find more information about this guy, but it just don't. That is it.
Yeah.
That is the solarity. Like, there was some, he held some ministerial positions. He was a minister without a cabinet, which is quite rare. So, under Menzies, when the Country Party came in as part of Menzies' government, he was actually appointed as a cabinet minister without a cabinet. So he, you know, when you go in to be a cabinet minister, you're either like the minister for defence or the minister for health or, you know, the minister for make the prime minister a cup of tea or something. Like, you have a job and you have a portfolio. He was actually in cabinet without one. So he's just the ultimate dude, just fucking hangs about, and like, you know, everyone fucking, it's like everyone freaking falls over and he's the only one left standing up.
Yeah.
I swear if he hung around any freaking longer, someone would go to the toilet, come back, and their seat would be taken because he'd be sitting in it.
Yeah.
it's crazy. But anyway, that's the beginning and end story of Arthur Fadden. Because, you know, after that, he held some cabinet posts and he completed some time in government. He did hold on to some of his cabinet posts for quite some time, though. Only some more recent politicians have actually beat him.
Yeah.
On time being, you know, treasurer or being within a cabinet position. So, you know, he hung around for time. I don't know why he actually couldn't last more than 39 years. I think I do. It's because he was the leader of the Country Party, and the Country Party just didn't have enough power.
Yeah.
And Curtin's Labour government had a lot more power.
Yeah.
Being an unstable government, so
he probably could have won us World War II.
Yeah. He probably just would have friggin' been the type of bloke just to wander over into Germany
and just ask them to stop.
Go up and just like wait for Hitler to be fucking like sitting somewhere else and sit in his chair and go, oh, I'm the Führer now. Just do as I say.
It's like everyone around him dies, so he's the last one left. So he just walks into Germany and just everyone dies, and it's like, oh, I'm the only one left. I took over Germany.
Yeah. It's like, how'd you do it? No. I just walked in. There was no one here. I just sat down, made myself comfortable. Someone brought me a cup of tea. That was it. Dear. Anyway, that's all of my notes. That's everything I had. Not a very reasonable size episode, I suppose. Not our longest, but reasonable.
Yeah.
I was hoping it would be longer. I was hoping I would find. I was hoping this Arthur chap would be one of those types of people who have an extraordinary younger life, of just, you know, massive hardships and all these things happen to them earlier in life, and then, you know, they stumble into leadership. This dude just stumbled into everything.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it must have been, some of it must have been just a joke. Probably his mates down the pub going, I betcha you can't get on the council. And then he comes back and goes, I did it. Like, I bet you can't get into Queensland Parliament. Like, it's probably just a whole stack load of freaking pub challenges.
No, it might have been just like, wouldn't it be funny if we put this random guy as Prime Minister?
Yeah. All the politicians are like, who are we going to put up as leader?
We just get Dave over here.
Yeah, they just look around. Just get Arthur. Just look around, and Arthur's at the back eating the biscuits. What about him? Wouldn't that be funny? Didn't actually expect him to become fucking Prime Minister, though. But anyway, that is that. Next week, we do get on the curtain.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. I think you'll be further ahead than what I'll be anyway. But anyway, we'll tell it as it is for that point in time. There's probably stuff that doesn't get covered in school because that would be largely focused on the leadership during the war.
Yeah.
And most leadership extends beyond that. So
I think I've stopped learning now. We've just got, I think, an assignment exam thing, and then we do some cahoots or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you have to do an exam on unknown Australians, do Arthur Fadden. It'll take you about 5 minutes.
No, we're doing satire cartoons from World War II.
Yep, yep.
Just got to write about them.
Plenty of those.
Yeah.
Plenty of those from World War II. Really spiked during World War II, that type of satire cartoon stuff.
Yeah. It kind of seems like the old, like, I guess, like, memes, you know?
Yep.
It's like, you know, it's related to the stuff that's happening in that era.
Mm.
And it's meant to be funny. But then it can, you know, be, I guess, showing what's happening.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. A lot of it's, whilst a lot of it's like a bit of a piss take on what's happened, it is a true representation of the view of what's happening in a lot of cases. So, yeah, that will be interesting. All right. Well, I don't have any more. Rambled on enough. So we will call it there and make that the end of the episode. So thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.
Goodbye. See ya. Goodbye.